you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Dudes, but with my squad, Auntie Chantel Trimeter and Ashley Nicole Moss, and the 49ers send the Cowboys back home in back-to-back years in the playoffs, winning the game 19-12. Now, Dak Prescott, he's gotten praise. He's been criticized. People were wondering what he would do in this game after he shredded the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we all knew was not really a good team. Now he faced the number one defense in football. Two costly turnovers, two bad interceptions. Brett Maher missed another extra point. He did actually make two field goals in that game. But this is Dak Prescott after the game, taking blame for those two interceptions.
Just two throws that I can't have. You can't have in the playoffs. You can't have when you're trying to beat a team like that. You can't have on the road. And, no excuses for that. Those are two are 100% on me.
Obviously. I mean, you threw a late comeback route, and then you threw another ball in zone coverage. And you didn't even see the nickel corner. I mean, it don't take the smartest man, Auntie and Ashley, to know those two interceptions were on Dak Prescott. But the game really turned. Where it really turned was when it was, I believe it was tied up. I want to say it was 9-9. And then Brock Purdy rolled out to the route, rolled out to the right. He found George Kittle, and George Kittle made a hell of a catch on a tipped up ball. And then after that, Kyle Shanahan was like, we're just going to play bully ball and run the ball down your throat with Elijah Mitchell. And then it finished off with Christian McCaffrey getting into the end zone. But the thing that tripped me out about Kellen Moore, even when, you know, the 49ers took that 7-point lead, right? Turpin gets a big return, which literally he should have scored on that kick return. He ran into Robbie Gould. Me and Auntie talked about this earlier in the show. If he just breaks to the left, he's walking into the end zone. I don't blame him, though, because he's a Pro Bowl returner, was USFL Player of the Year. You know, he would probably like to have that return back because he gets into the end zone. Instead, you know, Dallas has to settle for a field goal right there, 16-12. 49ers add another field goal. But you guys, Ashley, you guys get the ball back with about 3 minutes left. I think it was like 2:59 on the clock, right? And Kellen Moore calls three straight pass plays. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, try to run the ball, try to establish some type of run. Because when Tony Pollard got hurt, it was like the offense was so basic. It was like screen to the left to CeeDee Lamb, screen to the right to CeeDee Lamb. He did have the one big pass down the left sideline. But besides that, the offense was anemic when Tony Pollard went out of the game. So to me, like, try to establish some type of run. But no, he threw a ball three straight times before the 49ers got the ball back. Now, Dallas ended up getting the ball back with like 30 seconds left. And Dalton Schultz, I don't know if he was just not locked into the game, but too many errors, right? One time he got knocked out of bounds because he went backwards. Clock starts rolling instead of him running out of bounds, making sure he's going forward instead of backwards. Then another time, just get 2 feet in bounds. Like, he got a nonchalant, caught the ball, only got 1 foot in. That cost him like 15, 20 yards where they could have maybe threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game. So reporters, of course, after they lost this game, were asking Jerry Jones, does this affect Mike McCarthy's status going forward? And this is what Jerry Jones had to say about his head coach.
Head coach Mike McCarthy, does a result like this change anything in your mind with him?
No, not at all. And their decision to for our kicker was exonerated with his field goal in my mind, and I'm proud for him. But this is very sickening. To not win tonight.
Jerry, I know it is sickening. It's got to be really sickening. So, Ashley, let me ask you this question. Should Jerry Jones feel confident moving forward with Mike McCarthy as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
No. And that's not to say that Mike McCarthy is the sole blame for the loss, because I feel like there's four people to blame for the situation. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, and Dak Prescott. They get all the blame. The defense did their job. CeeDee Lamb did what he could do with what he was given. You know, the offensive line did their job. I mean, everybody did their job except those four people that I mentioned. Kellen Moore's play calling was safe. It didn't go ahead and allow Dak Prescott to do what he could do. It was predictable. I don't think Brock Purdy did anything miraculous. You look at the stats, he didn't have a single touchdown. They threw for roughly the exact same amount of yards, 214 to 206. So it's not like he did.
Well, you know what he didn't do, Ashley?
He didn't throw two picks.
He didn't have any interceptions. Right. But what I'm saying is when you look at taking interceptions out of the game, it's not like he got outplayed by someone who was throwing touchdowns left and right. He didn't. That's not what happened. I think the San Francisco 49ers called better plays. They were more creative with their play calling. They ran the ball. They threw the ball. They had, you know, some trick plays, and it was more creative across the board. Kellen Moore got out called. I think that Jerry Jones, listen, Mike McCarthy, yes, you can go ahead and give him credit for that Tampa Bay game if you want to. Tampa Bay wasn't a good team. And I mean, yes, you're playing Tom Brady, the GOAT, so you can never really underestimate that team fully when you have him at the helm. But let's call a spade. That team is a skeleton of what the Super Bowl version of them were. So I can't put too much stock in Mike McCarthy not ruining that. Now, had he done that, he probably wouldn't have even been coaching in this 49ers game, but that's not what happened. But I think that Jerry Jones has to look at it like this. Yeah, you got that Tampa Bay win. Let's go ahead and weigh that win with what it was. It was a good win. It wasn't like overly impressive, but is Mike McCarthy the coach that's going to take you to the promised land? No. And how much longer do you have? How much more do you have to see for that to be the case? We saw this with Jason Garrett. There was a lot of years that Jason Garrett was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys that he shouldn't have been. And it was Jerry Jones being comfortable in the mediocrity that he was delivering. Yeah, he wasn't terrible, but he also wasn't great. He wasn't producing Super Bowls. He wasn't producing the NFC Championship games. He wasn't completely tarnishing your season, but he also wasn't really elevating it. And I don't want to see Jerry. Listen, this team, this Dallas Cowboys team, is not getting any younger. We see it in Zeke. We see it in Dak. He's 29 years old. He's going to be 30 in July, I believe. The team's not getting any younger. Your window of time of capitalizing on this talented roster, because it is a talented team. Let's call it what it is. All the Cowboy jokes aside, this is a very talented football team, offensively and defensively. Your window of capitalizing on that closes more every single season. And unless you're going to go ahead and put a coach in the position that can lead this talented roster to the promised land, all you're doing is rehashing what you did with Jason Garrett. You're reliving the same thing with different names. But I also blame Jerry Jones. Yes, CeeDee Lamb was out there and he was doing what he could do. But Jerry, you traded away your number one receiver, Amari Cooper, in the offseason. You took a weapon away from your quarterback. You have an aging Ezekiel Elliott. Tony Pollard goes down. So that takes away a big chunk of your offense, because everyone knows the Cowboys love a run heavy offense. And now you leave Dak out there with one weapon, because Michael Gallup's good for a little bit here and there, but he's not wide receiver number one. So Jerry's at fault for that. Mike McCarthy's at fault for just being mediocre. Dak Prescott, I love him to death. You know, I'm a Dak defender. He is my guy. I think he is a good quarterback. I believe that he has it in him to be a great quarterback, but he hasn't shown that. And it can't be just Cowboy fans or Dak fans going to bat for him and saying, he's a great quarterback. He has it in him. He can win a Super Bowl. Dak, you got to meet us halfway. You got to show us why that's true. And he didn't show me why that was true. And I don't have an excuse for what I saw from him. That was a terrible performance. And there's not an excuse that I can make to defend that, because there was an opportunity in that game. It was 12-19, I believe, was the score. There was 2.5, 3 minutes left on
the clock. That's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Dak, that was your moment. to show us why you're an elite quarterback. That was your moment to drive that team down the field. That was your moment to run the ball yourself if you had to. That's what great quarterbacks do. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. That's what Tom Brady did in his prime. That's what Aaron Rodgers did in his prime. That's what Lamar Jackson can do. That's what those quarterbacks, when you talk about great quarterbacks, when you talk about elite quarterbacks, that window of time is when they prove to you, this is why I'm worth my paycheck. And this is why I'm the leader of the Dallas Cowboys or the leader of whatever team. And he didn't do that. And there are a lot of opportunities that he has to do that. And he falls short. So yes, I can see greatness in him, but what good is that if nobody else sees it because he doesn't produce it when it means the most? And that's what happened. And it's unfortunate because now another season is going to go by and he's not going to get any younger. The team's not going to get any younger. And now you got to do it all over again. So I think, honestly, there's a lot of players that you can't get rid of because he uses contracts, things like that. But where you can blow it up and start from zero or start from whatever point you want to start from, Jerry Jones needs to do that. And it starts with Kellen Moore and it starts with Mike McCarthy. If you ask me, both of them have to go.
Well, Auntie, before I bring you in, there's a lot to unpack in that soliloquy that Ashley just played. She had to get some things off her chest, it sounded like. But if you look at it, right, you said you give some blame to Mike McCarthy.
Absolutely.
The one thing I give blame to Mike McCarthy was how his team didn't finish that game. I talked about Dalton Schultz twice, just having the awareness, right? That comes from top down. The details. You have to understand in that situation – you can't get knocked backwards because the clock continues to run. You also have to understand, I have to get 2 feet in bound to give us a chance to throw a Hail Mary. Dude, other than that.
Dudes, where do they teach you that? Like peewee football.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a message that comes from top down. It's the details. It's the fine details. Auntie, you can speak to that too, playing as long as you did in the WNBA. It's the little finite details that you have to do that get rubbed into your head since you were younger. Other than that, I don't blame Mike McCarthy. To me, after hearing you talk, it seems like Dak needs to get all the damn blame. Let's dive into this. Let's dive into this though. In a game like that, Ashley, just to break it down from a football standpoint, defensive battle, back and forth. You talked about it. Brock Purdy didn't have any crazy numbers, but the one thing he didn't do was turn the football over.
Yes.
In a defensive battle like that, turning the ball over will get your team beat, and that's exactly what happened to the Dallas Cowboys. And you look at it, Dak should have threw another pick. Drake Greenlaw dropped one, hit him straight in the hands. And it was on that drive that you were talking about where Dak had a chance to prove that I can be an elite quarterback. Two and a half minutes.
I got to push back on that a little bit, though, dudes, because if you look at some of those, I think it was one of those interceptions. I'll give Dak that he's had a lot of interceptions this season. But if you really break them down, a handful of them are truly because he just did not do what he was supposed to do with that football. Some of them, they're the ball's hitting receivers in the chest, they drop.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. Sunday.
It's getting tipped. It's some of them are not solely on Dak Prescott, but yes, a lot of them are. So I will give you that, but I can't give him 100% of the blame for all the interceptions that he has this season. A lot of I would say a good piece of them are not 100% his fault. He just gets the stat line.
Well, no, I'm not even talking about season. I'm just talking about for this specific game. Those interceptions were him.
I don't think one of them was him directly throwing it into traffic. I think one of them got tipped.
No. Hey, so y'all. The one you're talking about that Fred Warner got picked, Jimmy Ward should have picked that off. It hit him in the chest, and then it bounced up.
Hey, y'all.
So either way, he should have threw that pass. Go ahead, Auntie.
Because I ain't spoken for 15 minutes.
Go ahead,
and
Auntie.
I wanted the folks to remember I was on the call. One, a couple things. One, Ash, you did talk about, Dak didn't have a great game, but wasn't like Brock Purdy did anything. Brock Purdy led his team to a win. And yeah, it wasn't the 300 some yards per game that we saw the last couple weeks. But we also got to remember he's a rookie and he's in his seventh game, right? And you're absolutely right. I think that Dallas's game plan was horrible. More importantly, I thought, I didn't think that Kyle Shanahan's game was called very much. I almost think he could have lost.
It was slightly more creative, but that's not saying much because ours was so uncreative.
Right. But I do think that I don't even think it would have been close had he let Brock be the Brock that he's had the last, 4 or 5 weeks. But, what Deuce said is defensive coordinator. He knows this, he hired Kyle Shanahan. And so, but, You know, I say this with all due respect to Dallas Cowboys fans and to my girl Ash, because you know me, you my girl. but I just don't think Dak is a Super Bowl quarterback. I really don't. And I only say that because he's proven time and time again that he can't win the big game. And in the big moments, you know, how many times are we gonna say, like, given better play calls and things like how many times in the big moments is he not, you know, is he not going to, you know, do what Dak does, right? You said that, you know, he had what, 206 yards and Brock Purdy only had 214 yards, but Brock Purdy threw the ball 29 times and Dak almost threw it 40. Yeah. But one thing I can agree with you.
But that is also because the run game was taken away from Dallas a little bit before the half when Tony Pollard.
Absolutely. But even when they went back to Zeke, I mean, Zeke was only averaging 2 yards a carry.
Yeah,
he had like 26 yards.
Story.
But what I do agree with you on 100% is no matter who gets fired, whoever called that last bullshit ass play needs to be fired. Mm-hmm. Because I have no idea why they would even, you know, hey, Dak, we need 7. This is the last play of the game. Throw the ball 5 yards down the field, you know, to your receiver who is blanketed anyways. So whoever called that was ridiculous. But I do agree with you, Ashley. Jerry Jones, I've said this from the beginning. I don't like him. I don't like how he. I think he's in the business of the Dallas Cowboys too much. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy has to go. And Kellen Moore, you know, you fired Byron Leftwich, and Leftwich got you a Super Bowl, and Kellen Moore hadn't got you anything. And either you're gonna keep Kellen or you're gonna keep Dak. But if you keep Kellen, I think you're gonna get the same Dak next year.
And listen, it's saying that Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore need to go is not taking away the blame from Dak Prescott, because I'm adamant in saying, and this is coming from someone who's a huge Dak Prescott fan and have been since he took over the franchise.
Right.
But he has to show what I know and a lot of Cowboy fans believe he is capable of. We have seen it spurts. We have seen it when games maybe don't mean as much.
That's what I'm about to say. But when have we actually seen it?
No, but what I'm saying is when it counts.
Right. But what I'm saying is we know the talent is there, because if it wasn't there, you wouldn't see it at all. So it's not it's not like it doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist when you need it to. And that's the issue that is at hand.
But wait a minute. One question.
If he was a subpar quarterback, you would never see him do elaborate things. You would never see him win big games in the regular season. But we have.
Right. But we always talk about the GOAT. Right. We always talk about basketball. And and the biggest thing they say between Jordan and Bron is what? Jordan has won championships. And that's the thing is, Dak hasn't won any big moments. And he has to, like you said earlier, like he has to start meeting people halfway. And he's getting paid way too much money to keep going out in the playoffs this early every single year. It's time for Dak Prescott. He gotta step up or get the hell off the pot.
Yeah, and that'll be we got to get to break. But my thing is, like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, like, what do you do with Dak? Is he the future? Because again, yes, was the play calling maybe anemic after Tony Pollard went down? Yeah, rightfully so. You have nobody that's more explosive on that team than Tony Pollard. And after that, you got CeeDee Lamb, and he still went over 100 yards and tried to do what he could do. But it's just
just 10 receptions. They should have given him the ball 30 times.
It's like he was the only one touching the ball. But then it's like when Dak threw it to other people, it was picked off. So it's like, you could blame the offensive coordinator all you want. You could blame Mike McCarthy. But at the end of the day, the guy that has the ball with a chance to tie the game up or win the game just didn't get it done. And that's been synonymous with him for his whole career. So,
but it could be worse, dudes. And Ashley, it could be worse. They could be the Dallas. I mean, they could be the New York Giants
or the Jets.
Chill.
Never
and everybody and everybody home with us right now.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
McDonald's. 1 in 8 start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And the one game in the divisional round that got ugly really quick was the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants, 38-7. Shout out to the Eagles radio on Sirius XM for that final call of that game. I mean, this was bully ball from the beginning, y'all. The Eagles ran the ball down the Giants' throat for almost 300 yards. Jalen Hurts was efficient with the football, didn't throw for a lot of yards. He was 16-24 for 154. James Bradberry got him a little payback in this game. Former Giant got him an interception in this game. And this game was early over now. Jalen Hurts started the quarter 7 of 7 for 89 yards in that first quarter. And again, true beatdown. I mean, the defensive line for the Eagles, Hassan Reddick had 2 sacks on the first drive. Matter of fact, the Giants tried to go for it after he sacked Daniel Jones on 3rd and 3, ended up being 4th and 8. And he sacked him again the next play. I knew the game was going to be in trouble after that. Well, you know, now that the Giants season is over, the Giants head coach Brian Daboll, you know, he met with the media to talk about future plans with Daniel Jones. And this is what he said about that.
He's done everything that we've asked him to do, and he's done a really good job with, you know, operating and executing our offense. I think he's made strides in a lot of different areas. Certainly, we can all make strides and more, but he's been a good leader for us, played the quarterback position well for us. I'm happy we had him. The team we have this year, it'll be different, and that's just the NFL. So how you build the chemistry with the team is important. It starts in April, so you're glad you have some of the players that you're going to have coming back, but certainly you're going to have a lot of new players, whether that's draft picks, free agent, different guys, and, you know, everybody's got to come together again and start building, you know, the team for the next season.
That man said the team will be different, which he's telling the truth. Every team every year is different. But the GM, Joe Shane, said something a little different in regards to Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. This is what he said about their futures.
We'd like Daniel to be here. Again, he said it yesterday. There's a business side to it, but we feel like Daniel played well this season. He's done everything that we asked him to do, and we'll devise an off-season plan. But we haven't had those meetings yet, but we would like to have Daniel Jones back. We'd like to have all the guys back. I really would. But there's a business side to it, and, you know, there's rules that you need to operate under in terms of the salary cap. And, you know, he's a good player. He's a great teammate. You know, I love getting to know him this season. And, you know, he's a guy we would like to have back.
He needs to stop lying, Auntie Nash. Yeah, talking about we want lie. Everybody back. He need to stop. You would have got rid of half of them players if you had the cap money last year.
You're going to get rid of Barkley.
Lying. I mean, there was rumors, guys, that Saquon Barkley, I think around bye week, was offered a $12 million a year contract that he turned down. And Barkley, you know, during his press conference yesterday was saying he's not really trying to reset the market. But we all know Christian McCaffrey's making close to 16. I would think that's probably where he wants his money. Supposedly the Giants aren't going to look to offer him near that 16. So it could be an interesting offseason. Now, they could franchise tag him for about $10 million and keep him on the books and then play Daniel Jones, which also could be an option. So, Auntie, let me ask you this. What do you think is next for the Giants?
I think they do keep Daniel. He started playing really well down the stretch, you know, started really using his legs and making much better decisions. Started looking more of the Duke Daniel Jones than the initial New York Giants Daniel Jones. I don't know. I think I agree with you. I don't think they pay Barkley 16. I don't know if he's worth 16 million. Is he? But Brian Daboll talking about it starts in April and off season. No, your off season started yesterday. So, it was a horrible showing. It wasn't like they look bad on all sides of the ball. And it obviously the Eagles on paper right now are the best team in the NFL, but I mean, it just was embarrassing. And so, whatever they do, they got to make some changes because, you can play well at the very beginning. They just proved that you can play well during the season and then take a goose egg at the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, this is why Brian Daboll is probably up for head coach of the year, right? If you look at just the roster on paper, a lot of guys' names you wouldn't have known coming into the season.
Right.
I mean, Isaiah Hodgins didn't even get there until later in the season. He wasn't even there in the beginning of the year. Ended up being their number one receiver. Lawrence Cager was with the Jets in the beginning of the year. He ended up being a really good tight end for the New York Giants. I mean, Joe Shane did a really good job trying to patch up this offensive line from where it was last year with the cap struggles that they had. So, I mean, for you to say that you're going to try to bring everybody back, we know that's nonsense because now that you actually have some money to spend, you can go get Daniel Jones those weapons on the outside. He doesn't have a true number one. I think Isaiah Hodgins could be a really good receiver. I'm not sure if he'll be a number one. Maybe he just needed an opportunity. And when he was out there, he played really well. Now, he didn't really play well on Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday or Saturday when they played the Eagles. Didn't show up in the stat line there. But again, to Auntie's point, Eagles are one of the most balanced teams. Auntie, what do you think the Giants – I mean, Ashley, what do you think the Giants end up doing with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley?
I think they keep Daniel Jones. I'm in agreement with that. I mean, I don't think Daniel Jones is a great quarterback. I don't think he's exceptional, but I think he's a great athlete. I think a lot of people ignore the fact that he is a really good athlete. I mean, he'll run that ball. He'll do a lot of things, possible for, to keep a drive alive, to go ahead and win. I don't know if he has the natural ability, though, that's going to go ahead and result in what the Giants are looking for in terms of a Super Bowl. I mean, they're very far from that, but that's always the goal in the NFL, right? It's in the business of winning Super Bowls and winning championships. I don't know if he's the quarterback that's going to get you there, but I also don't know that the Giants have another option right now. So I think that they keep him. Saquon Barkley is a different story. I mean, I think that we see spurts of that Saquon that, we all first fell in love with, that we were like, holy crap, this guy is a freak. Like this, he's different. And then circumstances and unfortunate circumstances have happened that have kind of derailed that. But I don't know if you're ever going to get, and this is not a knock to his abilities and his dedication to rehab, things like that. I don't know if you'll ever see that version of him again. So I don't know how much longer the Giants hold on to the past version of Saquon Barkley, hoping that reemerges for the entirety of a season and a postseason if they get there.
Right.
We all know the stats on running backs, and we all know what eventually happens to them, especially when they have a lot of miles on them, especially when they were used heavily in the offense early in their career, and especially when you compile the fact they've had some serious injuries back to back to back in their career. I don't know if you ever see Saquon Barkley of his first few years in the league again. And I think that it's time that the Giants have that conversation and maybe start preparing for that next running back, that next piece to the puzzle that's going to make them, a team that you don't want to have to compete against because they know there's a possibility that they can beat you.
Yeah, if you look at Brian Daboll, right, coming from over from Buffalo, they're not accustomed to having a feature back, right? They had multiple backs in Buffalo. And even if, you know, you look at week 18 when Saquon Barkley didn't play, right, Gary Brightwell and Matt Breida played really well in that game. And they'll be able to bring both of those guys back for a lot cheaper than they would be able to bring Saquon Barkley. The NFL, I'll tell you about this. This is what the NFL does, right? They rather let you go 1 year too early than 1 year too late, to your point, Ashley and Auntie. So as far as Saquon, we know the injuries. And he, I think he's self-aware. He came out. I mean, he could be self-aware and he could just be saying this for the media, but he came out and said he understood he had 2 years of injuries, right? He's not trying to reset the market. But my thing is, they offered you 12. Yeah, you never take the first offer. But, like, are you trying to get close to that 16 where Christian McCaffrey is, right? Because McCaffrey's dealt with a lot of injuries too, but San Francisco was willing to trade for him and pay him. And right now it looks like it's going to, you know, benefit them as they get ready to go to the NFC Championship game. But if you're the Giants, right, what number is the sweet spot to bring Saquon Barkley without, you know, giving them too much where you can't help other positions of need on that team? That is the big question I got to ask.
I don't give him more. I offered him 12. That's where I started. I'm not going past. If I'm the Giants, he's not seeing a number past 13 and a half, truthfully.
And from what I've heard, that's essentially what they've said, that like they're not going too much higher than that 12 number. So we see Saquon could be on another team this offseason. Or, again, they could franchise him and it'd only be $10 million for 1 year.
Right.
The thing is, do you worry about him holding out if that's the case, especially as a running back?
Let's say he does hold out, right? How much drastically worse does that make the Giants? Let's think about it.
If you're talking about the first 8 weeks, he was the team.
Right. But let's think about this. If you have a plan B running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's not going to cost you that much, you know, someone who's not going to go ahead and want $16 million a year. Let's say you find a guy who's just as efficient as Saquon is right now, or a couple of, maybe even a tier or two below him.
Well, the man had 1,300 yards, Ashley.
Right, but let's okay, even a tier or two below him, maybe half those amount of yards. Does that make the team drastically worse than what they are right now?
I just think the home run ability is what separates Saquon Barkley from
other running
backs. Of
course. So what I'm saying is, if he holds out, if you're the GM, you're Saquon's like, I'm not playing unless you pay me $16 million a year. Do you pay him or you say hold out? Because
if they're not paying him, you can let him hit free agency. You can either let him hit free agency or you just tag him at $10 million. Say it gets to a point, Ashley, where free agency is about to come up. You haven't agreed on a deal. If you really want him to be a part of your team, you just tag him. And I hate that, you know, from a player's perspective. I'm always with the players getting money and enough financial security throughout their whole career. But this is the business of football, right? They have that caveat that they could use. Like, all right, we're not agreeing on nothing. We're going to franchise tag you, and you stuck here for another year anyway. So that's the issue they have. I think you can't franchise him and Daniel Jones. I don't think you franchise Daniel Jones. I think you try to work out a 3 or 4 year deal. I think Daniel Jones has earned that for how well he's played this year.
I don't know. I'd franchise tag Daniel Jones.
That number is way too high for a quarterback. You got to think it's the average of the top five quarterbacks in the league.
It's like $45 million.
Yeah, you're not paying Daniel Jones $40 million.
You're right. I forgot that bar is different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With Saquon, it's only $10 million. So at least you can work out a deal with Daniel Jones that pays him around 30 something a year, and you franchise tag, you know, Saquon Barkley. Then you got some wiggle room to you know, move some other pieces around. I know Leonard Williams, they've talked to him about maybe taking a pay cut to play next to Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is going to need a deal. He's an all-pro D-tackle. So there's some things that Joe Shane and, you know, Brian Daboll have to do. Let's get to the other team real quick, the Eagles. Auntie, do you think the Eagles are the most complete team in football right now?
I don't. Here's my thing with the Eagles. I'm not gonna discredit the talent they have on the team. Not gonna do that. Not gonna be a typical Cowboys fan and discredit it. I just don't know if they've been actually battle tested yet. Like that's why I can't really say that this is the team to beat. They haven't been battle. Who have they played? Who have they played?
The Cowboys.
They played the Cowboys first. Cooper Rush and almost lost. And then they played the Cowboys again without Jalen Hurts and lost. So when I look at the Eagles, I'm not going to discredit the coach. I'm not going to discredit the talent. I think Jalen Hurts, listen, I didn't like how everyone was coming down on him when he first got into the league. I always thought that he had the potential to be the quarterback that we're seeing now. I think he's still, the ceiling's still high for him. I think he still has room to grow. I'm a big fan of Devontae Smith. I wasn't, you know, concerned about his weight or anything like that when he came into the league. And he's too skinny. He's too this. But as a team, as a unit, they're not battle tested. Who have they played?
They played the Vikings, beat them. I mean, these are playoff teams you're talking about.
Texans. We're talking.
I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs almost lost to the Texans, though. That's the NFL.
What I'm saying is I look at the 49ers. That's a battle-tested team.
But people said they haven't really been battle-tested until they played the Cowboys.
There was that one or
two. They played Seattle. And then the Vegas game, they're not a playoff team.
My only thing with the Eagles is I can't, without a shadow of a doubt, say that they are the team to beat. I'm not going to say that they're not a good football team. I'm not going to say they haven't been handling business the entire season, because what Bill Parcells say, you are what your record says you are. And the record says they're the NFC East champions. As much as that pains me to say, it's the fact. So I'm not going to take that from them. It's just, there's something that's not 100% believable for me with that team. And it's because I haven't really seen them do anything spectacular against a really, really, really good football team in the regular season. And I think if they come across when they play the 49ers, it's going to be a lot. I still have them winning that game, but it's going to be a lot tougher than I think a lot of people are going to think it's going to be for them.
What you think, Auntie?
The Eagles go into the Final Four, so to speak, with something that no other team has, and that's Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Joe can use his legs, Purdy a little bit. Mahomes, he's not going to be 100% anyways. Mm. But the threat of, and that RPO,
man,
you have to be such a, it's not even about the Eagles, Ash. For me, I think it's more about the discipline of the defense. 49ers.
Yeah, and they got to be detailed.
What the Eagles do to defenses is they make you undisciplined with your eyes. And if you're ever undisciplined against them, wherever your eyes are, they're going to beat you somewhere else. Mm. And I think that Jalen Hurts coming back, they just look like a totally different team, right? When he isn't out there and then when he is. And I don't know if they're the most complete team.
yeah, they're not. There's a lot of holes in that team.
But I think they're the most dangerous because of Jalen Hurts. Joe Burrow is playing amazingly well. He has amazing wide receiver weapons. Jalen Hurts has those same kind of weapons. But he's still got Jalen Hurts, and you always have to keep an eye on Jalen Hurts. Like he could rush for 100 in a game.
I think the Eagles are gonna wash the 49ers. They're gonna cakewalk.
I don't know about that.
They're cakewalking to the Super Bowl. They cakewalk their game against the Giants. They cakewalk against the last few weeks of the season. They're gonna cakewalk to the Super Bowl, and I feel like the Super Bowl is when the first time they'll actually get battle tested, depending on who makes it there first.
The disrespect for Kyle Shanahan has just got to stop. It's got to
right.
stop.
You don't think they're going to beat the 49ers?
No, I don't actually.
The 49ers if you look at it, different.
You put so much stock in Jalen Hurts, you still got to score points.
Yeah, but that 49ers defense is disciplined.
It's different. It's a lot different.
But it's also, you're right, they got to score points. But if if Kyle Shanahan gets back to where he was pre last game, and Purdy make some throws. Let's Debo and Christian McCaffrey get in space. That Philadelphia defense got to play some defense.
But here's the thing, I think we lost, so this is it takes this with a grain of salt. But playing the 49ers up until the point that the Cowboys started shooting themselves in the foot, I didn't think the 49ers were that big and bad. Like, that was a winnable game for the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that the Eagles are a lot more disciplined than the Cowboys have been this season.
On defense?
And, no, offensively. I think the Eagles are a lot more disciplined than the Cowboys have been offensively. I think that Jalen Hurts
has
had a better season than Dak Prescott has had offensively.
There's a lot of people in
there. Yeah, but
the Cowboys didn't look great against the 49ers. There was a point, though.
On defense, they did.
Defense, I'm talking offense versus 49ers defense. They did not look that big and bad. That multiple points in that game, they looked beatable. It was
the 49ers defense looked beatable?
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Their defense?
Had the Cowboys not started shooting themselves in the foot and had the
play. So you ain't going to give no credit to the defense for making the plays, though.
Had the play calling been more creative, I think the Cowboys could have beaten the 49ers. The 49ers was not as big and bad as everyone made it out.
But I think if Kyle Shanahan would have let Purdy be Purdy from the first six games and not this past game, I don't even think it would have been that close.
Yeah, we got to get to a break. I'll say this, right? I think me and Auntie talked about this earlier. Dan Quinn, I think, had a huge hand in that. He knew Kyle Shanahan because he hired him. He had intimate knowledge into that system. So I think that'll be a little different than, Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, when he plays Kyle Shanahan. I think you'll see more of what we're used to seeing from that Kyle Shanahan offense. Going back to Philadelphia, though, to me, on paper, from top to bottom, this is the most complete roster in football. If you want to win in the playoffs, you got to win in the trenches. We saw that all throughout this weekend with the Buffalo-Cincinnati game. We saw that with Philly versus the New York Giants. And I don't think anybody has a better front as far as the Eagles' offensive line with Travis Kelce, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, Lane Johnson, Dickerson, the left guard. And then the other side, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat. They're just deep at the defensive line. They can get after you. I think they're the most complete team in football from top to bottom. And Auntie, you talked about it. With Jalen Hurts, it's plus one. You have to account for somebody else running the football. That's what kind of separates the Eagles from everybody else. NFL fans, here's your chance to go to Super Bowl 57 in Phoenix. It's Super Bowl trivia on Mad Dog Unleashed starting on January 30th. Answered four trivia questions, and you'll be on your way. You'll receive two tickets to the game and four nights hotel accommodations. For official rules, go to SiriusXM.com/2023 Mad Dog Trivia. The contest is only open to subscribers 21 years of age or older since January 1st, 2023. No purchase is necessary. The NFL entities have not offered or sponsored this sweepstakes in any way. Lock it in to Christopher Russo on Mad Dog Unleashed Monday, January 30th at 3 p.m. Eastern for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Only on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts. Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.